Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Colonel Chris Thompson joins us. He's retired from the U.S. Army and National Guard, traveling around the world with him on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
When Roe v. Wade was overturned, I couldn't believe it.
50 years of progress gone in an instant.
Now I hear Sam Brown was chairman of a group that fought to ban abortion.
With no exceptions, even for rape or incest.
And not only that, Sam Brown tried to hide it. Now that he's running for Senate, leaving it off his official campaign documents so we wouldn't find out.
It's no surprise that Sam Brown wants to hide his extreme views.
But we know he's not for us.
Win Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Come one, come all, it's the $125,000 Carnival of Cash and Prizes at Tamarack Casino. Get in on the fun with cash and free play prize drawings every Thursday and Saturday, including winners of up to $1,000 and a top prize of $5,000 guaranteed each week. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Colonel Chris Thompson, retired U.S. Army and National Guard. Always a pleasure to have you back on the program, even though the topics are tough.
Thank you. Good to be here, sir.
All right, so let's start out with what's going on in the Middle East, and obviously Israel and Gaza. We've talked about this before. Do you not have to start when you have this discussion to say that this is really a war between Iran and the United States and the United States proxy, which is Israel, and Iran's proxies that are all the way around Israel?
Perhaps one way to look at it, but on the other hand, the war between those two cultures has been going on for millennia. Longer than the United States has even been in existence. And the war over that particular turf, that particular ground, Jerusalem, for instance, has been going on since the beginning of civilized humanity. So you know, you can say, are Iran and the United States heavily involved? Are they using proxies? Perhaps, but this is still...
Not perhaps. Come on.
Yeah, but this is still, on the ground, a battle for the existence of the Jewish state of Israel.
I would 100% agree with you.
Yep.
Because that's the core philosophy of Hezbollah and
Hamas,
you know, Hamas and you know, the Syrians.
Yep.
They would all like to see Israel, you know, that's you know, pushing them to the sea. But the attack that Hamas did on Israel, where they went across the border, captured the hostages, that to me was a direct signal from Iran to Hamas to say, we don't want what's going on with Saudi Arabia getting together with Israel to gang up on us, and therefore we have to do something to stop this. And is that not an accurate reading?
It is very, very much so. Iran furnishes Hamas with weaponry. They furnish them with technology. They furnish them with money, most importantly. They furnish them with political backing. So clearly, you know, this was a move that Iran claims they didn't know about it ahead of time. Those reports have been disputed. by intelligence, you know, leaks from our own government and from European governments that Iran was in fact aware of it ahead of time. And anybody, I think, in my former world in the military would believe that Iran is probably behind the planning on this, very closely involved to make sure that things, you know, were within the envelope of what they wanted in terms of in-state with Israel.
All right, so wars don't end with war. Wars end with diplomacy. But it seems to me that one of the things that has been a major screw-up by Israel was handling the PR side of a war. And that's a horrible thing to say when you're talking about so many lives. And don't get me wrong, for every innocent person on either side of this, we all have to have a heavy heart. But Hamas was not doing this because they're good people or because they have a good cause. But Israel should have promoted the fact, as horrible as it is, that they were attacked, their people are still hostages, they are being held in tunnels under Gaza, and yet they really lost control of that PR war.
Totally, completely agree. And here's my take on that. You know, this is, Israel has fought so many wars to for their survival, the survival of their people, survival of their government, survival of Israel as a whole, as a sovereign nation. But this is a new age. You know, in our Department of Defense doctrine, we say national power has four components: economy, diplomacy, military, and information. And information has now really elevated itself in importance. You not only have to win the war on the ground and achieve your military aims to set up, you know, for diplomacy to end the war, but you also need to win the information battle across the global media, the global social media. And Israel has been doing such a horrible job. And I get the feeling, I made comments, you know, on my own Facebook that a centrist that was involved in the Israeli war cabinet, a guy named Benny Gantz, the former chief of the IDF general staff, highest ranking military officer in Israel, who is retired, but he was on the war cabinet. He's a centrist, a moderate, and he got so disgusted with the prosecution of the war and the failure to properly plan for what happens after the war, to negotiate a release of the hostages, to negotiate into the war, that he resigned. And he is a, you know, he's a middle of the roader and very competent, very well respected guy. It kind of tells you that there might be a component, a political component going on within the IDF and within the Netanyahu government that, you know, that is just not really focused on ending this conflict in a way to get the hostages back and to promote a peaceful way forward after the war is over.
So there's two things that to me need to be done by Israel before they can call it a truce. One is they've got to destroy the tunnels. They absolutely have to destroy the tunnels. And they are not going to stop until they have made the Hamas network gone for 20 years. Because that's what they've done in the past whenever they've had to go to war. They've demolished as much as they can. The other part is a land grab, which is now they're trying to set up as many settlements as possible so that whatever peace terms come out, they have gained as much land as they can on the West Bank, et cetera, for settlements. Am I right or wrong?
So I'm thinking that was the original aim of the war, is to destroy Hamas completely. From all the open sources, it looks like that is no longer the possible. Here are the numbers. Hamas started the conflict last October with 24 battalions, somewhere between 25 and 30,000 fighters. Israel claims, and our own intelligence sources, according to the CENTCOM commander's testimony, indicate that up to half of those fighters have been killed or taken off the battlefield, and half of those 24 battalions have been taken out. But that still leaves 9,000 to 10,000 Hamas fighters. That still leaves somewhere 10 to 12 battalions of Hamas fighters in existence right now. And Netanyahu recently announced the winding down of military operations in Gaza. So it looks like, have they hurt Hamas horribly? Yes, they have. But have they wiped them out? No, they haven't. Are they going to be able to wipe them out completely in this current military operation? Absolutely not. The numbers just don't support that at this point.
What's the general feeling in the retired military community about 2,000-pound bombs being used in civilian areas?
There's kind of two layers to that. First is the Geneva Convention, the rules of war. They state that if the target is a legitimate military target, personnel or military assets, that innocent civilians, called collateral damage, very callous term, but that innocent civilian deaths are not a war crime as long as the target is legitimate. That being said, there is a rule of proportionality, which means the higher the value of the target in terms of the higher the level of the person is in the chain of command, or the more important the military target is, the more innocent deaths are acceptable and outside the scope of being a war crime. That being said, almost all the retired military guys I talk to are getting more and more uncomfortable with the munitions being used. They just killed 60 last night, 60 innocent civilians, as Israel did last night or yesterday, in multiple airstrikes, including some Palestinian civilians in a safe area that the IDF established. This kind of thing, the denying of aid, which had occurred for a while previously, the killing of the aid workers in a marked car on an Israeli aid corridor. This kind of thing is really hurting Israel across the globe with their most strongest allies, including the EU, including the US. I am a full supporter of Israel's military operation, the right to go after and kill Hamas to the last man wherever they are. But you have to do it, recognizing this is modern warfare. As you said, you need to do this in a way that you can win the information battle, because after the war is over, when it comes to the diplomacy and the negotiations and the support of allies to get aid in and to help reconstruct this area, the Gaza Strip, that's where how you conduct that war really matters. And you don't feel that the current way they're conducting this war really is taking that into full account,
to say the least, and this story is far from over. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll look at another area of conflict that's going on in the world after this timeout.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Colonel Chris Thompson, retired U.S. Army and National Guard. We're looking around the world at trouble spots. Ukraine. Again, it appears to be perhaps not World War III, but the alignment of the United States and Europe to fight the Russians. We may not have, you know, we've talked about this before, we may not have our forces on the ground literally, although there still has never been a discussion publicly, to my knowledge, about contractors from the United States who are operating in Ukraine, and one presumes they are there. But what have we spent now? Over $1 trillion?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that I'm a supporter of the aid to Ukraine. Number one, to allow Ukraine to be taken over by Russia gives Putin massive amounts of resources in terms of military hardware, military production capability, the ability to help his own country out. That's why he wants it back. So, you know, allowing that to happen, I think, would be highly dangerous to our national interest. But right now, the war has devolved basically into World War I trench fighting. And very, very close parallels here. In August of 1914, World War I was very mobile with a lot of maneuver going on the battlefield. Then it devolved into trench lines, barbed wires, minefields, that kind of thing. And that's kind of where Ukraine is now. Neither side really has the capacity on the ground to make a major move. Ukraine launched a counteroffensive last year, which I predicted beforehand. They just didn't have enough tanks or ground attack aircraft to really make that work. And it didn't, it failed pretty quickly. And so right now they're pretty much at a stalemate, and they've been at a stalemate essentially this entire calendar year so far. I don't see that changing at all. I don't see Ukraine having an ability to regain that territory anytime soon. The West is not going to put in military units to allow the retaking of that territory because of Russia's nuclear arsenal and the threat of escalation. So, I mean, to me, and I've been saying this for about a year, even before the Ukraine counteroffensive, to me right now there needs to be a negotiated ceasefire. Not a permanent agreement to the occupied territory, but I think it's in both of their interests to have a ceasefire. And I think should Ukraine agree, I think Putin would agree pretty quickly to be happy with what he's taken, unfortunately.
All right, but what does this say to you about the Russian military power minus nuclear?
So here are the numbers. They have lost 2,000 tanks in Ukraine just during the Ukraine war. That's about 60 of their tank battalions, which is a massive number.
Stunning.
Yeah, nobody knows exactly how many tanks are in the Russian army, but the estimates are anywhere from 4,500 to 7,000. So they have lost a great number of their tanks, and the tanks that they lost are the good ones, are the top-notch tanks. And they've had to roll in some older tanks from even before my time out of mothballs into Ukraine. So their ground capability has really been diminished. They've lost 600 aircraft, about 300 jet aircraft, and about 300 rotary wing attack helicopter aircraft, which is a massive number as well. So right now, both sides are slogging it out, basically using missiles, artillery, and drones at each other. I noted there was a report recently that the drones, the suicide drones the Ukrainians are launching, have been pretty effective, so effective that the Russians recently put up a new air defense battery right outside Vladimir Putin's house.
Wow.
In western Russia. So it is, but right now it's just slinging at each other. There's really no capacity to change the situation on the ground for either side.
Does the United States have even close to the manufacturing capability we need to replace what we have given? Because at this point, if there's any good news about this, and Senator Jackie Rosen said this on the program a couple of years ago, we had committed to replace everything to backfill everything from day one in this war.
So, and you mentioned this last time, very well read, sir, on your part, but right now the Russians are able to fire 5 artillery rounds for every artillery round fired by the Ukrainians. And the estimates from our own people are, in the United States, are that that will soon go to 10-1 because of the slowness of the backfill of the artillery ammunition going into Ukraine. The current administration has been talking a good game about sending ammunition there, and there have been delays in Congress by the Republican side. So this is not one side a one-side issue here. But overall, the United States has not been prompt or quick at getting in rapid amounts of ammunition to reinforce Ukraine. I'm not worried about our production capability. We can ramp up in a hurry, and we know that from Desert Storm. We know that from the Iraq War. So we have the ability to crank up the ammunition really quickly. So I don't think it's that much of an issue for us, but it definitely is for Ukraine.
All right, let's take another break. More with Chris Thompson when we come back.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
They want us to believe we only have 2 options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future, one that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild, a path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news in between and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Colonel Chris Thompson. He's retired from the U.S. Army and National Guard. Let's talk about China. So I think that China is such an interesting scenario because both the United States and China are bellicose in what we say about each other. But in reality, China sells all of their goods in the United States. We're their biggest customer. We need so much of what China produces, so there's a certain amount of balance there. A lot of what is said on both sides is for the consumption of the public in those two countries rather than reality. But at the same time, in the South China Sea, China is moving very rapidly to develop their defensive/offensive capabilities there.
So China, China is in an expansionist phase. They are just to give you one example, China currently has 3 aircraft carriers, all built within the last quarter of a century. They are building aircraft carrier number 4. Russia has a very good aircraft carrier, so that gives, if there was a coalition between Russia and China, say, in the Western Pacific, that would give them 5 aircraft carriers. In our arsenal, we have 11, and the British have 2, 13 aircraft carriers. But at any given time, 1/3 of those are back in dry dock or in port being refitted. And then you have to split ours between the Atlantic and the Pacific. So at the current building rate, it won't be long, at least in terms of numbers of aircraft carrier, that the Chinese might be on par with us in the Pacific. Now, ours are much more capable. Our carrier strike groups are much more capable. We have far better and more submarines than they do. But they are rapidly catching up. The other thing they're doing, which you just mentioned, is they have a military base in Djibouti, which is at the gateway to the Red Sea.
And that's Africa.
And that's Africa. This is a big deal. They've got 2,000 military personnel right at the gateway into the Red Sea and to the Suez Canal. And recently, they've announced a $3.5 billion container port that they are setting up in Peru. And this is the first really foray into South America for China. They are expanding their footprint across the globe.
Yes, they are. And the Belt and Road Initiative, if you want to Google that to see what that's all about, is moving along very rapidly. And the thing that's fascinating about that, to me at least, is that they loan all this money to these African and now Central and South American countries, and the countries can't afford to pay the money back. So they end up being in debt of China. So therefore, we know what the result of that could potentially be.
I just talked to a close friend of mine I served with, retired colonel. He was an expert on Africa. He has led, after his retirement, he led several military assistance missions into Africa. And I asked him for the updates this morning, and he confirmed that China is a major competitor, that within the continent of China right now, the influence is about 33% China, 33% U.S., 33% Russia. China has military peacekeepers on the ground. They are spending money to gain favor and open up new markets on the continent of Africa to kind of edge out the European goods, edge out the United States goods. So it's not only a military and a resource motivation here by the Chinese, but it's an economic one just to open up that continent for their goods.
And that's where we have to leave it for today. But let's come back next time and talk more about Africa, because that is a subject that most Americans don't even know where Africa is.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing
this.
Tough subjects, but we need to know.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
Carson Valley Inn, it's your place for the good times. Carson Valley Inn.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, and YouTube. If you want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you on the next podcast.